I don't know how this thought came to mind that the solution to the suffering is just to end it. And the only way to end it is by ending your life. There's a point of almost like no return. But for me, it was like I was fully convinced that it was the thing to do.
God gave me strength to do everything, but not to kill myself. When I have to go on the boat, I didn't have a balls to do it with my captain. To get on the boat, we can go and I can put the scuba diving gear and just go the last deep dive. I was lazy to do that. Thank God. And I'm here. And since then, I'm spreading my message.
That's powerful. It really touched my heart. And I realized in my life, I've never spoken about it. Like, I literally felt like I was just polluting this world. Like, looking back, it sounds a little like goofy and like weird.
It's not, because what happened is we all go through it. It's not. But we got to give people permission. It's normal. People are embarrassed to say those things because they think something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think you're the first older person I've spoken to openly about this subject. They say it starts with thoughts in their mind that they battle with, but then they stop battling and they start contemplating it. So in that phase between when the thoughts come, how can you fight it to where they don't even come? Is that possible?
They're gonna come for the rest of your life. It's gonna repeat. I think we need to have a bad days in order to have a good days to appreciate them. The pain is gonna happen, but suffering is up to you.
Welcome to Mastering the Inner and Outer Wealth with your host, Yarik Todla, where we dive deep into the art of building freedom from the inside out. Together, we'll uncover practical strategies, real-life success stories, and expert insights to help you master your inner wealth and create the life you've always wanted. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Inner Wealth Podcast. Today we have Pavel. Pavel, we kind of doing like a both podcasts right now, but it's gonna be
two in one.
There was gonna, you know, you did interview my son. We did a podcast with my son, which I really appreciated. And it's funny how you were saying they were looking for the kid for a year too.
Yeah,
that was kind of like
I spent a little over a year looking for a child, son or daughter of really wealthy parents that aren't egoistic or cocky and just Gen Z vibes. And when I met your son at a conference, suit, like dressed professionally, speaking like an adult, I'm like, thank you God, I finally found a successful son I can talk to.
good. So we can talk about that, but we're also gonna talk I talk about inner world. So I talk a lot about suicide, a lot about stuff that is being on the cover. And you know, like I just told you like a few minutes ago, 3 years ago, I was on the top of my mountains. I have zero to complain about. Financially retired so many times, financially wealthy, emotionally strong. You know, I've been in the self-development for years.
Wow.
For years. Emotionally strong, just regained the faith in God because there was a period of time. And I heard the story that you were talking to my Patrick, which was congrats, brother.
Thank you.
You know, and which I will touch on that because I want to talk about the conference and the guy that you were talking about, because, you know, some people, you know, we need this because I lost connection with God as well. And that's when everything went to shit. Yeah. So I recovered the connection with God. I wasn't sedating with anything, you know, because I was like, because people, when we talk about sedation, people think drug and alcohol.
Yeah.
Sedation's also workaholism, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like working a lot because I work 22 hours a day.
Yeah.
Then I was doing Ironman, so I was, you know, with working out, training and all this stuff. So constantly hiding from reality, from all the pain I carry. And then it just finally hit me.
Yeah.
You know, the validation from the outside world, it wasn't enough because I forgot about myself.
Yeah.
And I struggle. Yeah. And thank God, God gave me strength to do everything, but not to kill myself. When I have to go on the boat, I didn't have a balls to do it with my captain, to get on the boat, you know, so we can go and I can put the scuba diving gear and just go the last deep dive, because this is like really the less painful death, because you get sedated, you feel like you're a little bit high, and the deeper you go, the more you kind of lose the conscious and you kind of like go down. And I didn't have the strength. I was lazy to do that. Thank God. And I'm here.
Yeah.
And since then, I'm spreading my message.
That's powerful. It really touched my heart whenever I was coordinating with your team about doing a podcast with your son. And they told me that your kind of calling or the reason why you're ultra successful and are sacrificing so much time for a podcast is mental health And I realized in my life, I've never spoken about it. And I've always wanted to, but I always had this like fear of, hey, what if I get judged or it gets used against me in the future if I share the struggles that I went through?
Have you read the book?
Not yet, but I need to. It's on my list.
But this is a Bible. This is one book. Yes. But oh, I'm assuming you definitely read that. This is 48 Laws of Power. Wow. So this is the reason I also just start sharing all the story, to take the power away from the bully, from the toxicity, from all these people that thought that I'm not going to make it, I'm not enough, that put me down. Yeah. So first I have to take the power away from my mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when I start kind of like releasing, then all the other stuff came back.
Yeah.
So
whenever I was driving here, I'm like, what better time just to share what I went through in my life in hopes of it helping one other person than on a podcast with you? And I've been following your reels, so I've seen a lot of your reels and your posts. And so, in short, I did suffer bullying through middle school and high school. And towards the end of my high school days, I let it get to me. And I turned to different vices in my life. And it got to a point where...
What was the different vices?
Alcohol, partying, bad friends. And it got to a point in my life where I was like the bullying was just so... like it just kept putting me to a point where I couldn't get myself up anymore. And I feel like if I had maybe a better social circle, maybe something would have been different. But
there was your social circle.
Yeah, yeah. And so I got to a point where I was at a party and there was a lot of drugs there. And I, similar how you explained, I'm like, if I just do enough, like all my pain and sufferings will go away. And right when I was about to take the last amount of drugs that I knew it would put me, out of all my misery and pain, a friend of mine there saw, and he actually stopped me from doing it. And I remember fighting him over it and wanting to do it, but not going through with it. And I realized then that if I raised in such a good family, amazing parents, amazing siblings, and I tried to do that, how many other people in my life have tried? And so I just kind of started...
720,000 a year.
Wow. And I was shocked. I started casually asking people in my life then, friends and not friends. And in the span of 1 year, I pulled a revolver out of a person's person's mouth, like someone who tried to commit suicide. I had to physically hold down another young man from committing suicide and watch him for 24 hours. I didn't sleep for 24 hours holding back from committing suicide. And I realized how big of a problem this is. And over the last 10 years... it's always been so private and hush hush. And
not in this room. You're in the wrong room.
So I'm glad to be here today to finally not only tell the world that I've tried to do it in my life, but publicly and openly help people with it, because it is a really bad problem. And you shared your story briefly, and I want to hear your story. Like, to me, it seems like more of an average story, because I didn't really have anything growing up. And, there's a lot of variables that played into it, but... looking at your life, I mean, it seems like from the side, a picture perfect life. So walk me through your story and what led up to it.
We're gonna go my story. I tell my story so many times, but let's go back to your story. I want to ask a few questions because I want everybody to understand that they're not alone. That's normal feelings. That's normal, self-doubt and self-talk and all this stuff. How old were you?
I was a senior in high school, so I would have been 18 years old.
So how many years ago?
Exactly 10 years from.
So you're telling the story exactly 10 years from today.
Yeah, 10 years later. Yeah, I haven't shared it with anyone in 10 years, not even my wife.
Okay, so now in 10 years, what is your perspective on that? About let's discuss the night that you were trying to do it.
Yeah.
Like, can you talk about the feelings and emotions? Everything went through your body, whatever you can remember. What?
So I just remember that what led up to it was the pain and the suffering inside. It was just so overwhelming for such a long time. Which, looking back, 3 years, it seemed like a long time. Like it piled up over the course of 3-ish years. But I remember that day is. I don't know how this thought got into my mind, but somehow the thought came to my mind that the solution to the suffering is just to end it. And the only way to end it is by ending your life. And I got so caught up in this moment of, it's like really hard to talk about it, but just remembering that it can all end. But unfortunately, it can only end with ending my life. And that's one thing that I've spent so much time studying and looking into. Like, why does someone come in their life to a moment where they think the only way out is suicide and not like good people and good friends? Another thing that I remember is wanting it. That's something that scares me to this day, is why would I want it? And I remember fighting over this friend. I mean, I probably wouldn't even call him a friend, but this person in my life, like, I was physically like fighting him to let me go through with it. And for me, that's another thing that really keeps me on guard to this day and taking my mental or spiritual self so serious, is understanding that there's a point of almost like no return. Like, that's what scared me. Some people say like in the last few seconds, they had a little bit of self-regret. But for me, it was like I was fully convinced that it was the thing to do. I had the regret, I would say probably the next morning when I woke up, is when that regret started soaking in. And so now I had a new form of pain, a pain of regret. Regret for not going through with it. Regret and like holding myself so much more accountable for
it. I'm not worthy. I cannot even kill myself. Yes, I'm a loser. I'm not scary. Enough.
Yeah.
You know, I try to do this. Nobody... Have you ever thanked your friend for stopping you?
Oh yeah, most definitely. He's been the center in my life, and he's gone out of the life that he had. And he's got kiddos now and whatnot.
I'm getting goosebumps. You know, we all have angels, right?
Yeah,
we really do.
I believe it.
We all have angels.
An angel, and the Lord encompasses. Yeah,
and they just show up, and then most time they're when they're most needed.
Yeah, and what helped me really start helping other people, and why I spent the next year physically looking for people in my life that needed help, was I thought I was at the bottom, but afterwards I felt like it was even lower and scarier and darker. At that point, I couldn't sleep at night, and it's hard to explain with words, like, because a lot of times people that have experienced a thing like suicide and ending their life is the end, but that's not it. Like, if you don't go through with it, it's like, it's even harder and scarier. And so, at that time, my sisters invited me to a youth conference, and I was like, they were really nagging me about going. And I was like, I will go with you guys if you promise to never bother or bug me about religion again. And I go to this conference, and there was the keynote speaker was from Canada, and he just said this just powerful message. And I felt like everything he was saying was for me. And there was an altar call. I went out to the altar call. In my life,
like, keep looking at me. Why is he talking to me? There's so many people here. Why like is it me? Why is it me?
Hundreds of people, and it was like talking to me.
But just so you know, so people understand, you were ready to listen.
Yeah.
No. That's what it was.
It wasn't that I was ready to do anything to get rid of this pain. I would someone could have told me to go and try medicine, or like, I was ready to do anything it took to escape from that pain. And I realized that drinking and drugs, like, that's not going to take away the pain. I feel like added to the challenge is,
yes,
there's nothing like, there's,
because what happened is drugs and alcohol, what it does, it just killed the connection between your brain and your heart and your soul
for a short time.
Yeah. And what happened is, and then you missing, because on the, like, and for me, I'm not speaking for everybody else, that's why I'm always asking for people experience when they have it. It was, I have zero connection with myself.
Yeah.
You know, I have this empty, like, I had this pain over here. Yeah. It was this empty hole. And you were fortunate enough, you were only 18 years old. So you have, you know, the pain you carry for, you know, for 10 years, 18 years, whatever, since you were born, there were some trauma, some wounds that not healed and not talk about. I'm freaking 48 years old man that I keep carrying this pain and put everything under carpet. And what happened is, but this pain was compounding. It's like a compound interest.
Yeah.
But it was compound pain. It was getting bigger, bigger, bigger. And I really didn't know how to deal with that. And, you know, make a decision. It's like, it's over. It's done. Like, I don't want to feel this anymore.
Yeah.
But the second I didn't do it, then all the other doors showed up. And it's like, hey, you know, because a lot of people, even when they jump off the bridge or stuff like that, they realize, like, shit, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But it's too late.
Yeah. It was interesting for me when I started the year after is probably my most active year. I remember three instances where I personally helped someone escape suicide or prevented that suicide. And then I helped like other people. I got involved with the hotline and events. And I started hearing these statistics. I remember the one of them was in the U.S., over 10 people a day is the last one I heard. I'm sure it's grown since. Yeah. And I just started looking and I'm like, some of these young men and women that I helped go through this in their lives and is, you know, they come from good families. They're not, you know, it's not like they were in poverty per se or in hardships. And that's what really made my story resonate with you. Could you share with like, what was the lifestyle you had leading up to this and why is it
so important? I have everything.
Define everything.
Everything. Houses all over the place, more money that I can spend, generational wealth, like security, planes, whatever you can imagine. Perfect body. You know, I went back, you know, I was back doing, you know, the Ironman running.
Wow.
Everything was right. I found love of my life, everything, faith, everything. And suddenly I got sick. 3 days, you know what I mean? And 3 days become 10 days, 10 days become 20, 20, wow. 30, 40. And then when it comes, the resentment, the anxiety, the depression, and all this stuff. And the voice, the only voice I have absolutely everything. Yet I'm depressed and suicidal.
Wow.
I gotta share the story. I really have to get out of this bed, but I have no, you know, what happened is when you're in bed for so many days, your muscle disappears, you like, you know, yeah. you kind of don't want to do anything. And it's just, you know, I have this inner voice. It's like, Jesus, you got to get out of the bed because you inspire and you help so many people. Yet, you know what I mean? You yeah. can, you got to share the story. Literally 5 minutes later, Jessica comes into my room, opens the blind, and I go nuts. Like, close the blinds, I'm sick. She goes, you're not sick. Take the blankets off, pull me out of my ankle. Wow. Just get out of the bed. And I'm like, you're helping so many people, you cannot help yourself.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? Like, you know, look, I got even more, yeah. more angry.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just, like, did she just hear what I said in my head? Like, you know, I have the voice from God or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. And I was like, I have to share the story because I have no, you know, past divorce or there was no breakup. There was no losing child. There was no.
So what do you feel like was the starting point to all that? Like
the pain I carried for my entire life.
Wow.
I put all this stuff, you know, under the carpet. And the pain was that I constantly looked for validation. I was looking for love. And for validation from other sources
wow.
than myself. I never give myself permission to be loved because, you know, I always was there. I was people pleaser. I was always serving. And I was always getting validation from outside sources.
Wow.
But I forgot about myself. So what happened is when your outer wall, that this is, that's that right now, at that time, I did not have the awareness yeah. and the conscious level. But what happened is when your outside world it's there, you know, your wealth is enormous, yeah. but the inner wealth is completely empty. You're on the other side, you just break.
Yeah.
You just completely break. And that's what happened to me. But what about people that have real reason to be depressed?
Yeah.
How, like, I have zero reason. There are people that are really, like, you know, they have real, real problems.
Yeah.
You know, they have a sickness, they have, you know, loss of the loved ones, you know, they have really, you know, financial struggles, yeah. you know, all these other issues, losing a job, losing career, going bankrupt, going like getting divorced, like zero.
Yeah.
And like, and I went through the same voices, the same, I lost the battle with my inner voices
wow.
because I never feed them. So when something suddenly happened, like I didn't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so big right now on emotional intelligence, emotional fitness. Because even when the first time when it happened, like when I was 44, when I was like, I had a ski accident, I realized I have no emotional intelligence. Like, you know, my business intelligence, it's like humongous.
Yeah.
My physical and like, you know, what has to be done is enormous. But yet I have zero emotional intelligence. I don't know how to deal with it because I always put, yeah, I'm on the vision, you know, to do this.
Yeah.
And what was important I always buy. This is not important. It's not a $10 million, not a $100 million. Like, I was putting all this stuff on the site. And then I lost connection with everybody and myself.
Wow. What do you feel like is, let's start with like preventative, and then let's jump into people that are already there. So speaking with mostly younger people, I'm yet to, I think you're the first older person I've spoken to openly about this subject. They say it starts with thoughts. It starts with thoughts in their mind that they battle with, but then they stop battling and they start contemplating it. So in that phase between when the thoughts come, how can you fight it to where they don't even come? Is that possible?
Yeah, they're going to come for the rest of your life. So you were fortunate enough to hit this, because just so you know, it's going to repeat. Like, I think we need to have a bad days in order to have a good days to appreciate them.
Yeah.
But the only problem is we cannot identify with it.
Yeah.
The problem is everybody I talk to, it's the struggle is, it's like the pain and all the inner dialogue, I become the person.
Mm.
So they become the person, or me, my identity. And that's when something really bad happens. You know, the pain, I mean, it's going to happen, you know. But suffering, it's up to you. But because I still use the pain as a fuel, even till this moment, you know what I mean? It's, you cannot go through life without even bad thoughts. I mean, I'm telling you, I was fortunate enough because I was always bigger vision.
Yeah.
So I did not connect with myself. I didn't know what this stuff is important until I realized it's missing.
Yeah. How does one combat them? Like, for my case, it was bullying that led up to it. Other people, you know, it's...
So let's talk about your bullying. So you think it was the bullying that came into it, right? Yeah. So, but the bullying is an exterior thing. What happened internally that you believe that everything they're saying is true?
Yeah, I think it was validation, seeking for validation from people outside and not realizing that, like, wow, I'm already, you know, created in God's image and fearfully and wonderfully made and a good young, you know, I was top of my class. I had good grades. I was president of multiple clubs and associations. And so I think for me was seeking that validation, and, you know, cognitive dissonance states whenever.
And the validation came from the negative, from the bully, and you think that you believe them versus all the stuff that you do with
it. I think it was a combination of believing them and a combination of what I felt from what they were saying.
Yeah, so that's the inner wealth I'm talking about. Yeah. And especially you were young, but this happens to you young, so it's like you don't know how to deal with these emotions.
Yeah. And the feelings. How does young, like... Speaking to the young, because about half of my following is under 21 years old, and I just assessing from the people I interact, I would say 25% of the people interact are suffering with it. What are like realistic steps they can take to fight those thoughts, to build up that inner wealth that you speak about?
Number one, wait 24 hours. Number one, I mean, just wait 24 hours. Like, you know, everything in life is temporary. And I'm telling you, I'm 52 right now. Everything, all the good shit is temporary. All the bad shit is temporary.
Okay? I like that. Everything is
temporary. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm humble, but I'm not humble. I'm successful as fuck. Yeah. Everything I touch, I like turns to gold. Yet, I didn't learn shit from successes. Zero. Everything I ever learned, the best lessons, it came from the pain and suffering. But I choose to suffer too long. Mm. That pain is normal. From the losses, the failures, those are the best lessons. That's where we learn. And the best to learn the lessons when you're young.
Yeah.
You know, go through the pain as much as possible. You cannot, I'm 52 right now, 53 turning. You cannot avoid negative thinking. You cannot, but you what you can avoid, you can identify. That's not who I am. Okay? We're going to have bad days. We're going to have bad thoughts. And start, the biggest thing is, I just put it, starts here.
Yeah.
It's, can I have that?
It reminds me of the famous words, and this too shall pass.
Starts here.
Yeah.
Love yourself. Because what happened is, when you love yourself, none of the stuff, you're going to have all the validation from the within. We talk about the validations. I was looking for validation from the outside sources, winning another competition, being the president of the class, being good students. Those are validation from outside sources. What about us? When you're 18, when you're 14, when you're 20, 30, 40, if you don't start validating yourself, because you're the only one that they spend the most time with.
Yeah.
So how you talk to yourself is the most important. And it just and for me, it was like you. I found a faith. Yeah. And you got to reset. You got to be with your own thoughts and listen to the voice. Yeah. Because God whispers. God's not going to scream and yell at you.
Yeah.
You got to just go reset. And like, you know, every morning, I got to tell you, like, every morning I wake up, I thank God, and then I go to the mirror, and I'm going to, like, today, I love you, man. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to put good food. I'm not going to put alcohol, drugs. I'm not going to put any sugar in you. I neglect you for so long. I'm going to take care of you.
Wow.
You know, it's like, that's what you do. But we love everybody else. You know, when I can relate with the parents, because I tell them, it's like, you have a kid, yeah. It's like, and let's say they're drinking. Yeah. How old is your son? Let's say 12, 14. Would you give the drink to your son? Wow. No. So why are you taking the drink? You know what I mean? Because so you love your son, but you don't love yourself?
Yeah.
So why would you give the line of Coke or the gummy to your son or to your daughter?
Yeah.
No, you do it yourself.
Okay. Wow, are you serious? So it's not like a selfish way. It's just like...
You have to be selfish. You got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, but it's not like a spoiling yourself. It's like a requirement. It's not like you're neglecting other people. It's like that verse, you know, love your neighbor like yourself. And if you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor?
Because you don't know exactly. Yeah. Because so I give you a different example. It's I was with Jessica, with my queen. And after a year, I'm like, you know, I only felt love twice. And she started crying. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is... And, you know, a year later, when I started loving myself, what happened is when you don't love yourself, you don't give permission to be loved. You don't know what love is. Mm. Because you neglected yourself and you disrespected yourself for so long to get the validation from outside world. And then you don't get that.
Yeah.
You were talking to my son. And my son already knows, like, you don't like me, then get the cloud.
Yeah, I was so
He's 14.
Like 14 years old.
Dude, are you kidding me? Yeah. Dude, I'm 50. He's like, yeah, let me suck up to you, you know, because I want you. No, get out, dude.
Yeah.
Get out. This doesn't serve me. You withdraw my energy.
Yeah.
But we do it to everybody else, but we don't do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
When you love yourself, then none of the stuff is matter. Because if I tell you right now that, you know, that you're stupid, you might believe it. You know, but I'll tell you, like, you freaking, like, you don't have a lack. You're like, dude, I have a lack. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, but you, that's like, you know, I can, it's, we believe, so we cannot, you know.
Yeah.
I tell you Chinese, like, dude, I'm not Chinese, I'm white. Or you, dude, like, no, because you identify with that.
Yeah.
But if you tell yourself, you kind of, yeah, shit, I look a little bit stupid here. And then what happened is somebody tells you you're stupid, you connect it. Fuck. Mm. It is. So do you remember how you talk? And I always tell even, dude, I'm around adults. And it's like somebody say, oh, yeah, I'm stupid. Please don't talk like that. No. Because what happened, your mind doesn't know the difference. Mm. If you talk like this, even if you're joking.
Like you start believing.
You believe it. And what happened is, and then what happened is he said so, he said so, she said so, your queen, your wife, your kid. And it's like you believe it because you already identified, you already mentioned that in your head. So be careful, like for the younger, for anybody, not younger, do not listen, you know. And then what happened is also when I start listening, I have those bad thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm start talking to them because you cannot talk and listen.
Yeah.
So I start talking to myself. Mm. Yeah, like, just shut the fuck up. It's just like, this is not a day. It's just coming. It's okay. You got this. Just I'm going to walk you through it. You know, and that's the most important.
Yeah, we talked about activities, reading the Bible, praying. What are other practical activities anyone, more so younger adults, can do to improve their mental health?
Breathe. That's
it. It works.
Just fucking breathe, motherfucker. That's it. When it hits you, just breathe. You know, because it's very hard. It took years to meditate. It's not easy. Just really breathe. Breathe and took control of your head. Talk to it. Do not listen.
Wow.
And I think breathing for me, even like every time, like, you know, sometimes like I overwhelm, you know, like I go 120 miles an hour in everything I do. But dude, I need to kind of, dude, calm down too.
Yeah.
You know, and just breathing and just really, to me, you hear. You're sitting, you have hands, you healthy, you whatever. Some guys don't have them, and they still like, there's always somebody's got million times worse than we do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. But what happened is when I was in the rabbit hole, I did not see, when you're in such a negative spot, you don't see none of the good. You only see the bad.
Yeah.
And the pain is bigger and bigger. So we got to just step out of it as the little steps.
Yeah.
Because you cannot just go from zero to 100. It's just you have to relearn and really be grateful for little things.
Yeah.
You know, like when I got out of the bed, I walked like 100 to my living room.
Yeah.
It was a freaking success. And you're telling to the guy that runs 10 miles a day, swims 3 miles a day, and bikes 100 miles a day. Dude, you walk 100 feet and you think you are successful? But that's what has to happen. Little step and be grateful for him.
Transitioning into intervention, I remember myself in that lowest moment, like, I feel like there's nothing anyone in that moment, I feel like there's nothing anyone could have said or done to intervene other than physically combating me to prevent it. And then in my experience in helping others, granted, I was probably 19, 20 when I prevented my first suicide, and it was a peer, you know, my age, and I remember I had to physically hold him down and keep him away from that revolver from doing it. What are more healthier or maybe better ways, or is there any way to help someone who's in that rabbit hole, who's in that end of the road, there's no way out? What do you do in that situation to help someone come out?
Well, you know, it's like, remember, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a therapist, I'm not like, you know, cop that, you know, they trained how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, with the immediate, but I have a lot of guys calling me and it's like, listen, I have nothing else to do. I mean, this is, and I always tell them, I get it. But before you do anything to yourself, can you please share the story?
Yeah.
Tell why you're doing it. Describe your feelings, describe your emotions, describe everything you're going through right now and tell the story to somebody else. And by the way, all those guys usually call me 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. Holy shit, everybody goes through some shit. I thought my shit is hard. And then I told this story and this guy told me my story. And it was like, you know, it does. Sometimes you have to open up, because remember, we're fortunate enough so we can pay for therapists and, you know, we surround ourselves with the people. But when you on the bottom and then, you know, a lot of people don't have the resources.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? It's like, you know, because usually times like, you know, because, you know, they financially, like, you know, they lose the job or something.
Yeah.
It just talk to somebody, but don't talk to anybody in your bubble because there's a reason you end up there.
Yeah.
But unless you have somebody that inspire you, or there's somebody in your bubble that you can reach out, then reach out to that person.
Yeah.
And just be vulnerable and just like, you know, just.
It's almost like a confession, like go, like just share your story with
someone. But what happened is we have this, we are not worthy, we're not good enough. With the blame and the shame, it put us even lower.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because you are so, you know, shameful that it's like, shit, I can't suddenly say it. Dude, it's not that bad.
No.
You know what I mean? Tell me through, what went through your head? What emotions feel like, what words can you describe when you, like, you go back to the experience? I know you, at that time you were drunk and high, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But that happened before. There was you were preparing for that, like, unconsciously, but that the way actually, the self-talk, the self.
Yeah. I've never shared this with anyone before, but that was actually my second time. The first time I was driving home and completely sober. And I just, that pain inside was still there. And I remember driving.
What
and,
pain?
I don't even know how to explain it. It just felt like you're not worthy enough. You're not good enough. just feeling inadequacy was unreal. Like, I literally felt like I was just polluting this world. Like, I don't, like, looking back, it sounds a little, like, goofy and, like, weird.
It's not, because what happened is we all go through it. It's not. But we got to give people permission. Yeah. It's normal. People are embarrassed to say those things because they think something wrong with them.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's an environment. We were born with everything we need within us. And then our environment, you know, create us that we're blocking.
Yeah.
You know, with my son, like, you know, like he can speak to 6,000 people. And yeah. You know, I mean, you heard him, right?
Yeah.
Now, I got to pamper that because I want to make sure that he doesn't get shameless or somebody tell me, well, what did you say? This was stupid. Or this podcast, you said this. People start laughing. And what happens is we start, you know what I mean, like closing and then believing in the bully that you had. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we all have bullies in our lives.
Yeah. The worst part for me was, I think, what the well, I know exactly the turning point where I stopped fighting with the thoughts. Like, for the longest time through middle school and early high school, I would fight the thoughts and I'd chase them away. But the turning point for me was after I had attempted to do everything the bullies were telling me. So, you know, they were telling me, I don't have a cool enough car, I got a cool car. You don't have cool enough shoes. I go and I worked construction sites and I got the fancy shoes. And they're still making fun of me and giving me a hard time.
Did you hear what we talk about? Like, you say it to yourself first.
Yeah, you start. It's
and scary. Then you get the validation from others. Oh, he's doing this. Oh, yeah, I'm not happy with my car. You have a shitty car. You get the, oh. So the insecurity comes from us first. And the bully just, you know. And then, but we need to block the other stuff. The validation's got to come from within us.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, Pavel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm freaking work in progress.
Yeah.
It's freaking, you know, this is the infinite game.
Yeah. I like something you said in addition to the infinite game, it's a battle to the end.
Yeah.
It is something I still fight and battle with. It's nowhere near what it was then. I feel like I'm getting every day closer and closer to victory. But speaking in practical terms to individuals in recovery, so we spoke about preventative, we spoke about intervention. Now I want to talk about recovery. So for me, you mentioned it, I completely replaced my inner circle. Like, I replaced who I talked to, who I hung out with. I even, for the longest time, some of my closest relatives and siblings, I put distance between. So that really helped me. I dove into the Bible. So I'd read the New Testament every month and the entire Bible every year. And there was one year when I read the Bible three times. And I felt like, the more I read the Bible.
Are you reading in order? Because I just opened. I don't read in order.
Yeah, so I used to read in order. Now I read by book. So I'll find a book that's on my heart, and I'll read that book. Right now I'm loving Romans and Proverbs, so I'll read through the books. What are other things on the path in recovery, on this lifelong battle, do you feel like in your life helps you really be victorious?
You know what? The biggest thing right now is my tribe. It's the bigger, the more awareness you get, the higher your conscious level, the best people you attract. Mm-hmm. So I think without the, you use the word inner circle, I use the, you know, my inner circle. So all my inner circle has got to go to my training. Like, I'll go through all the groups that I'm going through. Wow. You know, it's like, you know, and it's just because they have to have the same belief system. So to me, having that tribe is everything. And without it, I went my entire life alone. Mm-hmm. You can get alone a lot faster, whatever you're going through, because you have no distractions.
Yeah.
But with the tribe, you get a lot farther.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And having, being able... Listen, you know, my Christmas, I hit bottom again, not as bad, but, you know, this Christmas, I didn't have kids on the 24th. Mm-hmm. For us, 24 Easter is Easter, the Easter, Jesus, not the Easter, the Christmas Eve. I'm sorry, Christmas guys. Eve. You know, I didn't have my kids. I have my kids on the Christmas Day. And it's been 6 years now, you know, six Christmas.
Yeah.
And I was recording, you know, for everybody else. It doesn't matter when you're going through divorce, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I put myself in an inner dialogue when I finished making the video.
Yeah.
I look at my home and I got like 20 people that I absolutely love. at my table, but my kids are missing. Dude, they fuck me.
Wow.
And
even
I'm like,
today.
And I'm like, shit. And I went upstairs and I'm like, okay. And I have all those people at home.
Yeah.
In my table, like at the dinner table, right? Yeah. And I went upstairs and like, you know, start, you know, meditate, you know, pray a little bit. And you know, I kind of have the, it's let's see, Eric, what's going on? Yeah. You know, it's still kind of like, hey, you know, you were not a good father, you know, like yeah. all those negative thoughts are coming. I'm freaking Christmas Eve. I just did the reel. Like yeah. I knew that the video
yeah.
that was like, hey, it's normal. It's an important time of the year. And if it's your, and I did it like if it's your first divorce or sixth divorce, and then actually manifested what I felt.
Yeah.
Then I got mad at myself. Why did you do the video? Like this is that wow. they put you in the funk. It's normal. We don't know.
Yeah.
So I think that the inner Jesus, this is the most important. But you know, also, I'm telling you, loving yourself. Love yourself, take care of yourself. Be careful what you put in, what you take out. And what yeah. I'm thinking about, I put in is not only food and alcohol, not only food and drinks,
yeah.
but also the information, the stuff that you read, and even the stuff that you're scrolling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's very important. Love yourself and be careful what you put in. To me, breathing, dude. Like breathing, exercising, and meditating, it's like I cannot yeah. go without it.
I really like how you said tribe. I call it inner circle in my life. And so Andy Elliott had a big influence on this in my life, and it's standards. And I have 5 strong standards that I get judged for all the time, which it's okay because now at 28, I reached what your son Patrick has reached at 14.
I retired at age of 28.
Wow.
That was my first retirement.
Yeah.
And this was, believe me, at that time, I thought it was a gift. It was the biggest curse because emotionally, my yeah. emotional intelligence was zero. I wasn't ready to retire.
Wow. I'm glad you said that. I just had a PE firm offer us $100 million that we declined. So I'm glad I made the right decision. But anyways.
Look at my podcast with Eric Stepford.
Okay.
Look at, he got $115 million and his life went to shit.
Wow.
He sold his company and he got $150 million check. For the next first 8 minutes when everything got blocked, the emails, text messages, everything else, because, you know, he built the strategy,
yeah.
like, you know, the company, and he didn't know what to do with himself. Like, first 10 minutes, it was, like, horrendous.
Wow.
And then it took him 6 months. He was a lot older.
Yeah.
So just, I'm telling you, it's not the good thing.
Yeah. Don't exit. Don't stop.
don't stop. Good. We have to evolve. But there is a difference between inner circle and tribe.
Yeah.
Inner circle is a lot smaller.
So even smaller than a tribe.
The inner circle is a lot smaller. The
wow.
inner circle is the people that you allow, that you really, it's like, my inner circle is a lot smaller.
Wow.
But then I have my tribe, which is a lot bigger.
Okay, that
this
makes
is
sense.
The guy, you know what I mean? So it's like, first it's me, of course, then it's my family, my
yeah.
kids, my loved one. Then it's my inner circle.
Mm.
My inner circle, it's a really the guys that, you know, they have access to me 24/7.
Would
and
you?
There's a tribe.
So that's what I want to talk about is inner circle.
It's huge.
Yeah. So for me, some of the standards that I have in my inner circle is, and I don't know if this is a bad thing or not, you can comment on it, but is a certain net worth. So I require $250 million.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely, hell yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad I'm not. A lot of people judge me for that.
Dude, no. Look at it. Dude, hell no. Financially freaking strong, face strong, emotionally strong, physically
yep,
strong, relationship with the freaking kids. Is like, dude, I can take my kid and then I know nobody's going to take my kids, my daughters or my son, and they're going to talk about hookers, drugs, and alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
This is no conversations like that. They're going to talk about the faith, about God, how to make another deal, how to make it better, what
yeah.
to do another mark. Hell no. Like, I want to make sure that it's like, think about it. You have kids?
No, not yet.
Not yet. So think about it. If you want in your inner circle, if something disappears, they're going to be your mother's, you know, mother and father.
Yeah.
This is the people you want around you.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's, I do want to be the broker, like, you know, and like, you know, of course, somebody in my circle is a lot stronger physically than I am.
Yeah.
So I can pick his brain, better father than I am, better, you know, got more faith than I do,
yeah.
have more money than I do. So everybody, we got to inspire each other.
Yeah.
And it's okay to sometimes, if somebody's not keeping up,
with the standards,
yeah,
it's okay to let it go.
Wow.
Because when you people, even you keep your inner circle accountable, yeah, they will fall out by itself. That's what happened in your companies.
Yeah.
You let the managers go. So it doesn't matter. Well, I get you from here to here. You know, you go. Shut up, dude. It's the numbers are not doing. It's like we're saying yeah, bye. You yeah, follow my culture. You know, everybody in my company's got to go to the trainings that I go to.
Wow.
This is not, you know, because it's the culture. Yeah. And you want to have the culture in within you. And everybody's yeah, got to have the same system.
Yeah. I get asked a lot of times when I share my standards of what it takes to be in my inner circle of, well, Pavel, you're not there yet. And while it's true I'm not there yet, it's where I want to be, I know for me, I have a clear journey of how to get into those circles. What is your advice on how young individuals can get into those circles while not yet personally achieving the standards that those circles have?
You know, I'm telling you, I think as a young kid, you know, my son or my kid, my daughters, they yeah, have access to all the stuff that I go yeah, to the training. But really go to those seminars. Like go to those people and self that there's a lot of seminars that really let you in for almost for free.
Yeah.
You know, like you can go like we talk about Tony Robbins. You can go to Tony Robbins seminar, you can spend $10,000, but you can buy those general tickets for $595 and you can buy two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, I don't have that. Then ask somebody, maybe somebody can take you.
Yeah.
If you don't have that tells you there's something I have to do.
So just the desire, like if you have the desire, you yes, get there.
Yes. And you know what? It's funny. One of my friends, and I'm not going to say who because you know him. We already mentioned his name quite a few times. He said, Jarek, you can go to all, but you have to be on the right conscious level. You can go to all those seminars because you constantly go. But right now, I'm going to a lot of seminars that mm-hmm, I've been many times because of my kids
yeah,
or my employees or somebody yeah, from my inner circle. I want to, you know what I mean? Like I do, why are you still doing Ironmans? I never do the Ironman alone.
Yeah.
There's always my CEO, my CFO, or my friend. And now we have Lowe's going to be doing it, which, by the way, he committed. He committed yesterday awesome, on the podcast. So now I'm going to have somebody doing, you know what I mean? So I'm always doing it with somebody. But I lost my thought. You see, I said it and then I lost my thought. So
how do you get into the inner circles that you're not yet qualified for?
You got to pay for it. Like, unfortunately, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to be in a circle with, you know, with Tony Robbins. You got to be in a circle with, you know, or any circles. Unfortunately, you do have to pay for it. But also, like, that's where I was going. The books sometimes are a lot better than say. If you freaking, you have zero, go to library and read the books.
Oh, yeah.
In those books, you're going to find the answer how to pay the $300, $500, yeah, and go to the seminar and be around people that want to evolve, they want to have a progress. And you, it's, look at, I don't know how the hell you are sitting here, but you did it.
Yeah. Well, I figured it out.
Dude, like you would never, but you figured out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You figured it out.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get to those rooms.
Yeah.
But it's going to get, and the harder it gets, the better you got to be more and more strategic.
Yeah.
But there's something that also you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
But there are rooms you can really get in through other people.
Yeah.
But don't be transactional.
Yeah.
Seriously, you cannot be transactional because that you're gonna get to the certain level. You're going to be red and you're going to ruin your reputation.
Yeah.
Always bring value. And if you have no value to offer, I have zero to offer, but I just want to be around.
Yeah.
And that's more than it's like being completely open. This is the most thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But just go out there. And you know how many seminars are out there.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to find an answer. And it's hard. Because I was successful from the beginning,
mm-hmm,
it's hard because I was introvert. So I was going to a lot of seminars, Pavel.
Yeah.
But I was the guy sitting in the last desk and hiding, nobody talk to. Don't be me. Don't yeah, be me.
The way I look at it, I was very introvert too, like super shy. I mean, to this day, my hands still get sweaty. But I just found it. So for me, the example I use is like a marathon. Like it's not easy. Most people can't do it. The last statistic I heard was like over 80% of society can't do a marathon. And is if you put in the work, if like I was an like introvert of introverts, but I put in the work and I continue to put in the work. And even where I am today, you know, sitting in some of the most biggest rooms, I think, in the world, it's still work. It's still working at it.
We still both don't know what we're doing. We both get sweats. I like we've done this. It's like we still, it's like it's, it looks from the outside world. We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we still don't know. We're still struggling. We're still like scared. Yeah. We still go through the anxiety attack. We still go through the same thing. I always tell people, like people watch me skiing or swimming, right? Yeah. And it's like, shit, you look so natural. Motherfucker, if you knew what I'm going through, this freaking with my head and this one, my one, my legs are shaking and the moguls hitting, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, what in the water trying to be the most effective way? It looks from outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so it's like, and what happened is, you will never be ready.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just do it completely. I always tell people, jump. Just jump.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny, you talk to Patrick, it just do it and don't be scared.
Yeah.
And we, like, really, you be honest. I'm telling honest. I don't know what I'm doing every time. It's like, let's wing it, but let's do it. It's like, holy shit, this came out amazing. Yeah. It's like, just fucking do it.
Yeah. I remember my most recent letter from attorneys, one of the top attorney firms in the country, and they send, you know, the demand letters are always like 20 pages long, and my team's like reviewing it, and I'm probably half the age of the youngest person on my team, and so they all look at me like, Pavel, what do we do? And I'm like, guys, I'm only 28, like, I don't know what to do, like, let's figure it out, let's work together. As we wrap up this amazing conversation that's already having a positive impact in my life, so thank you for that. I always get asked, anywhere I go, it's an interesting question, I'm sure you get it too, what books to read? And so what are your kind of books that have been pillars to your journey to this day?
Right there, 48 Law of Power. Bible's number one.
Amen.
This is, and my book, come on, man, my book right there. But seriously, this is amazing book. Which book? I mean, this is my number one.
Yeah.
And then he also wrote a book on the war, exactly, the law of power, because it's a lot of stuff going through life that we give too much power to other people and we take the power away from ourselves.
Yeah.
And what other book? Dude, like, I it's like, you know, my kids, I mean, they have to, you know, reach that poor dad. Jesus.
I'll drop links to all these books.
Yeah. In the Napoleon Hill, like Napoleon Hill, you know, Grow Rich. I mean, this is a must.
Yeah. So like, how many books a year which would you say you which go wing, through?
Which, well, I read 12 books, like, all the time.
Wow.
I read a lot.
You have me beat by two. I have a shorter attention span, so I go through six. Yeah, and I just jump
but what happened is I don't read one book and I don't read like cover to cover. That's not who I am.
Uh-huh.
So I have like books. I have advice. Raul from Edge, you know, my coach. That's I'm proud of the group. Which, you know, you gotta come, April 28th. Edge Brotherhood group. Like, you will love it. Like, you really? Will absolutely love it. It's like, you know, it's very like we talk a lot about all these issues that we go through as a man. You have the different demographics. It's amazing group. And he told me, it's like, and Jessica keep like, because I have like all those books all over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And whatever I'm sitting, it's like, oh, here, boom. And then it, boom, you know, and I'm just kind of go through it. So instead of me grabbing the phone and doing bullshit, you know, it's like, hey, there's a book right next to it. So it's like, you know, suddenly, and then I read it and I have all those informations. And you know what? We never stop. And it's funny, I hate to read.
But you still make yourself read.
Do you know what I mean? Well, now I enjoy it. Like, believe me, now I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I enjoy it because what happened is I can learn a lot more from the books than from seminars right now because I'm in my own space and my conscious level is a lot higher, so I connect it a little bit. You know, I'm like, I read the book a year ago and I'm reading today. Completely different breakthroughs.
Wow.
Completely different aha moments. So definitely, there's another thing. I mean, unfortunately, I know we don't like it, but we have to read.
Yeah. I mean, that's everything in my life, my business, my marriage, networking. I always compare everything to a marathon. I don't know why, just from a day one of starting my business, I compare it to a marathon. It's not easy. It's never going to get easy. And even after I win, if I stop training, stop sacrificing, stop going through the pain, I think they say within 3 days, you start going downhill. Mm-hmm. Some say the same day you stop training is the day you start going downhill.
And I got to tell you, every time, and it's funny, I talk to this all my brothers and all the time when I talk, every time you think you got it, that's when you fell. Because till the end, until we die, as a man, it's our human nature. We have to evolve. We have to progress. We have to move. The second you think, no, I got it. And you know, it happens so many times in my life. Then every day I'm
down.
So it's like, you know what I mean? But remember, sometimes we have to come down in order to learn. Yeah. Hey, I thought I got it. I didn't get it. And then we restructure. And I'm telling you, there's... I don't want to manifest it, right? But let's say business, you have $100 million, right? You get offered.
Yeah.
And then suddenly something's going to happen. Suddenly, shit, the market shifts, something shifts. Suddenly, shit, and somebody, now you want to sell it, but you only get 40.
Yeah.
Shit, why didn't I do it?
Yeah.
It comes. And then you go through it. You learn so much. You adjust it. You change the infrastructure. You let people. You kind of this. Suddenly you get offered $500 million. It's like, oh, that's why I didn't do it. Yeah. But it's going to be, you know what I mean? And also there is a process that we don't grow.
Yeah.
And that's when you cannot stop.
Yeah.
Because when you don't get any result, that's when everybody gives up.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always get upset about motivation. Motivation is bullshit. You know what I mean? Is the consistency and the discipline.
Yeah, discipline.
Fuck motivation. Who cares? Like, you know what I mean? It's got to be like do it when you don't want to do it, when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
The consistency and discipline is the most important.
Yeah. I remember someone, I think it was TR, someone said that motivational YouTube videos is like porn. It gives you a short high, but no long-term results.
Yeah, that's the instant gratification.
Yeah.
And that's what we're struggling with the society right now, too. But remember, we're guilty of it too, brother.
Yeah.
Seriously. We get a good, like, you know, good vibe, good podcast, good connection, good dinner. It was a good deal. You got this. It's like, and then we just kind of drop. Life is like a yin yang. So.
Yeah. One of the last things I'd like to talk about and is probably the pillar or the forefront of why I started a podcast, Suits and Shoes, is clothing. And the reason behind it was one of the... like turning points for me is after I got the car, you know, the everything that the bullies told me I couldn't have, one of the last things was clothing. And I went and I worked so hard to get at that time they were $100 high top basketball shoes. I don't know why high school students thought basketball shoes were cool walking around school all day. But anyways, I got the shoes, I got the socks, I got everything. The $300 jeans, which for a kid, you know, one of 11 siblings living in poverty on food stamps and welfare, $300 jeans is probably equivalent to a $3,000 pair of jeans today for relevance. And I realized, wow, I'm still not good enough. And it clicked.
Dude, we keep saying the word not good enough. That's my book, man. Dude, I think I put, you know, subconsciously, you unconsciously, you keep saying this word, not enough, not enough, suicide. It just, you know, was in the room, the energy, just like, you know.
That's powerful.
You said the name of my book, like, literally like 10, 20 times on this podcast.
God, I got you, dude.
So I was right there, not enough, not enough, not enough.
It works.
Yeah, it works.
And so
I trick your mind, man.
I love it. So for me, the turning point was it just clicked. It's not the clothes that define us. It's us that define them. And I was like, wow, I can wear anything I want. Well, it's become easier over the years. Recently, like a year ago or so, someone told me I dress like an old man within my company. And I guess they didn't know I was a CEO, which is kind of a cool story. And I tell him, hey, I don't think you've ever felt this. And he came up and he touched my shirt. And he kind of gave it a rub. I'm like, you know what that is? And he goes, no. I'm like, that's $53 million. And so in my life, I don't let the clothes define me.
Yeah.
I literally wear what I feel comfortable in, what I like. And if I am advertising a company or pushing a brand, which I sometimes do, it's because I love it personally. Your life. Talk to me about shoes, clothes. You're always dressed classy, sharp.
No. That's not it. I got to tell you the true story. It took Jessica years. It was funny. I was going to the board. Remember, when I go to the boardrooms, people want something from me. Mm-hmm. And people are suits, like they look like $1 million. Yeah. And I was coming in the Lululemon shit. Like just came back from the freaking 10-mile run or bike ride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The only thing, and everything black, so I don't have to think about it. It always like that.
Yeah. So simple.
Simple, comfortable, the most, really simple in this. Now my different doors are opening and I don't feel comfortable going to a lot of dinners. Now I'm kind of like, but for me, comfort is more important than anything else.
Yeah.
And people know also that the self-worth comes it's true. Like I have a lot of brand design because, mm-hmm. That's what was bought for me from years. So now I don't want to throw the shit away. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's for me, it's truly, truly the comfort.
Yeah.
And I like watches though. We that's my guilty pleasure.
What's your most favorite watch?
Not this one, Patek, but I also like Rolexes. Like Rolexes because it was always Rolex. So I have those guilty pleasures. So definitely watches is my weakness.
Yeah, that's amazing. Any other questions for me or anything you wanted to share as we wrap this up?
No, I think thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for sharing your story.
It wasn't easy. It was definitely something that kind of look forward to seeing how it's accepted and what people's reactions are. I everything I do is with kind of one goal, at least one more person.
That's really exactly. I want to do one at a time. Doesn't have to reach millions. Wow. But I'm telling you, there's some real struggles, and men we've been still the stereotype that men cannot be vulnerable, they cannot be weak, they cannot express their feelings, emotions. This is like very feminine energy, and it's bullshit because you get, believe me, is the connection with your wife and right now wife only, is gonna be a lot bigger when we become vulnerable and we know if you with the right person that it's not being take
advantage. I feel like it's powerful in a marriage because many times it's one way.
Mm-hmm.
And the we start feeling like we don't have someone to talk to. And it's like, you married this person, like talk to each other.
Yeah, but remember, talk to yourself first. How you talk to yourself. I think that inner talk is the most important, more than anything else.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today on this collaborative podcast with Todla, right?
Yes.
Studios and Suits and Shoes. If you have any questions for either one of us, you can visit our website. You can drop it in the comments section. If you want to be featured on the podcast, go to Paul Vobosovic, BOSOVIK.com. And I look forward to connecting with you. Also, if you are struggling, I think the key takeaway from this podcast is talk to someone. I know in that moment, you feel like you're at the very bottom. You have no one to talk to. No one understands you. There are really strong people out there that you can talk to. Get outside your circle, get outside your bubble, get online. I mean, just reach out and talk to someone and give yourself 24 hours to allow God to change your life. Thank you and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for listening. Leave your comments and subscribe for more insights on mastering the inner and outer wealth.